Amen. Do sit down. And it'd be great help to me if you could turn back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Oh, I'm afraid I don't have a page number. I've forgotten my little piece of paper. Who's got a page number? 865. Brilliant. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the living God is speaking to people who can't sleep at night. People who wake in the small hours with a tight chest, struggling to breathe because they're afraid of what tomorrow might bring. These are people who've been dragged 900 miles from home and they're huddled together in a refugee camp by the river. They're in the hands of the Babylonians and their whole world has fallen apart. It's not just they're afraid. They're afraid of what the Babylonians might do to them, but they're afraid because where is God in all this? Their God had promised to make them a great nation. Their God had promised to give them the land around Jerusalem, promised to be with them, to bless them. Through them, he was going to bless the whole world. What happened to all those promises? Maybe he doesn't keep his promises. Maybe we were wrong to trust him. Maybe he can't keep his promises. Maybe he's not in control after all. Or maybe he's not even real. Maybe we were fools to believe in him. You ever felt that? In Psalm 137, they sing, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." We look back on Zion. We look back on Jerusalem. How did we end up here? Makes no sense. 5 years of question and confusion, and then the Lord raises up Ezekiel to speak to the people, to tell them it's not that he has forgotten them, it's not that he has broken his promises, he's kept his promises. Because before they entered the land, you remember back on the mountain, he said there were two ways to live. There's the way of blessing and the way of curse. And the way of blessing is the way of loving what I love, hating what I hate. That's the way to flourish in the land, he said. But there's the way of curse. He said, if you take up the sword, if you trample on the poor, if you abuse women, if you sacrifice to idols, well, there's no place for people like that in my land. If you turn away from me, I will turn you away from the land. And Ezekiel is saying again and again and again, do you see why we're in exile? It's not because he's broken his promises. We are here because we have turned away from the Lord. And chapter after chapter, the Lord beautifully calls them to turn back to him and live. And then chapter 33, they're 12 years into their exile, and the news comes. The city has fallen. The temple back in Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple? The temple was the symbol of God's presence with his people. And for as long as the temple was still standing, there was maybe hope. Maybe hope that one day things would go back to how they were meant to be. But now the temple is smashed. It's the final blow. All hope is gone. Seems to me that at the start of the 20th century, people had hope that things were going to get better. By the end of it, people had pretty much lost all hope. One of the writers I enjoy, Walker Percy, is an American. He describes the 20th century as the most scientifically advanced, democratic, inhuman, murderous century in human history. He's right, isn't he? We sense we are a long way from home. We are a long way from how things are meant to be. And the Bible tells us why. So although Ezekiel is written 2,600 years ago, theologically, the world Ezekiel is speaking into is our world. It's a world that's turned away from God. A world that recognizes we are a long way from home. And the Bible says, why are we a long way from home? Because we're a long way from Him. And the question is there any hope? Is there any hope for people who have turned away from God? And Ezekiel's chapter 1 to 33 are very bleak, but in chapter 34, the sun comes out. And the Lord says, there is hope. There is hope because there is a good shepherd who's come to lead us home. There's one big point in this chapter. There is hope because there is a good shepherd who's come to lead us home. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Friends, if you were to think of yourself as an animal, what animal would you be? A lion? An eagle? An owl, perhaps? No one ever goes, well, actually, I quite like to think of myself as a sheep. No one ever says that. But the Bible says the animal that best describes us is a sheep. And the point about a sheep is it doesn't have claws. It's not very fierce. It's not very fast. If a sheep is going to live, it desperately needs a shepherd to take care of it. I think the point is a bit kind of lost on us in the UK. In most parts of our country, there's plenty of rain, which means there's plenty of grass, and on the whole, there are no wolves. So if we were sheep in the UK, you could pretty much stick us in a field and leave us to it. And maybe we wouldn't feel like we needed a shepherd very much. But if we were sheep in the Middle East, our whole life would depend on having a good shepherd who took care of us. Because we'd need a shepherd who would know where to find water, where to find grass. We'd need a shepherd who'd know how to lead us across rocky terrain. A shepherd who'd go after us if we fell behind, if we got stuck in a bush. Most of all, we'd need a shepherd who would be prepared to protect us from wolves. Because we're just sheep. We don't have claws. We can't protect ourselves. And the Bible says, that's us. We're just sheep by ourselves. We don't know where to find water that will satisfy. We don't know where to find grass that will nourish. We wander off. We get lost. And by ourselves, when our plans fall through, when illness strikes, when death comes, that's when we realize how helpless we are, how small. How desperately we need a good shepherd to take care of us, to protect us. And friends, the shepherd we were created for is the Lord our God. Back in Genesis 48, Jacob talks about the God who's been his shepherd all my life to this day, he says. Psalm 23, the psalmist famously sings, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 95, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. And you see, we want to be lions, and we want to be eagles, and we want to be owls. We want to stand on our own two feet. It's what we've been taught. Human beings not created to stand on our own two feet. We're creatures created to depend on our Creator. And if we're going to flourish, we desperately need Him to shepherd us. But here is the thing. For some reason, the history of humanity is the history of people thinking He's going to be a bad shepherd, who doesn't know what He's doing, who doesn't care very much about us, who's out to spoil things for us. So in ancient Israel, the people of God, they didn't want Him as their shepherd. They said, oh no, we want the sort of shepherds that all the other nations have got. We want kings, proper kings to look after us. And that's what they get. They get kings like all the other nations. And Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, do you see how these kings have shepherded you? Verse 2, Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That's the kings of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. You're meant to be taking care of the sheep, but all you've done is take care of yourselves. You see verse 3? You eat the curds. The milk the sheep produce has made you fat. You've clothed yourselves with the wool. You've fleeced them. And you have slaughtered the choice animals. You've slaughtered them. Instead of feeding them, you have eaten them. Do you see the picture? Instead of taking care of the sheep, these shepherds have exploited them. Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. You didn't care for them. So, verse 5, they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And my sheep wandered over all the mountains, and on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. See, you didn't care for them, so they were scattered. They became food for wild animals. They were scattered over the whole earth. They were scattered to places like Babylon in exile. Why? Do you see the beginning of verse 5? They were scattered because there was, do you see? No shepherd. See, they looked to these kings to be their shepherds, but these kings were no shepherds. They came home, and yes, it is because they have turned away from God, but why did they turn away from God? Part of it was because their leaders didn't care for them and just let them wander off. But God's people are precious to him. Do you hear the number of times he calls them my flock? Verse 8, surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd. Again, these shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. They're my flock. They're my precious people, and he will hold the leaders to account for how they have treated his precious people. So his verdict on them in verse 10 is, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I'm against them. I'll remove them. And friends, although this is a word against shepherds, remember who he's talking to? He's talking to the people in exile. He's talking to the scattered sheep. And he's saying, look, you rejected me as your shepherd. You wanted shepherds like other nations. You wanted kings. Do you see where that's got you? Do you see the situation? They're a long way from home because they are a long way from God. And without him, they will die. What do they need? Long way from home, long way from God, what do they need? They need someone to take them back to God. And they are still thinking, oh, if only we had a king to fight for us and take care for us and lead us home. And the Lord is saying, no, can't you see where the king's got you? Instead of leading you back to me, the king's led you away from me. And they've let you just wander off and get lost. So the very first thing the Lord says to his people is, do not put hope in human leaders. They will not get you home. And Ezekiel is 2,600 years old, but its world is our world. We are a long way from home, a long way from God, and without him, we will die. What do we need? We need someone who will get us back to God. And what we do is we put our hope in politicians, or we look to leaders or filmmakers or scientists to fix our broken world, to restore things to how we wish they were meant to be. Or we put our hope in our parents, or perhaps in a tutor or a boss, or a vlogger you are following, or a group of friends. You say, will you take care of me? Will you lead me? Will you fix my broken life? Or perhaps someone you love, and you've been lost, and you have looked to this person for salvation, and you've said, will you give me what I need? But what do you need? What do you need? You need someone who'll lead you back to God. And they can't do that. They can't do that because they're just sheep. And they're lost like you. They don't know the way back to God. Worse than that, maybe like the kings of Israel, they've hurt you. And they've let you down time and time again. And yet you still put your hope in them. And the Lord says, why? Or maybe like the kings of Israel, they are leading you further and further away from God. You are starting to put them before him. You are starting to listen to them more than you listen to the Lord. In fact, they are getting you to think that God's ways are not good. In fact, they're getting you to start to wonder if God is even real. And deep down you know that, but you don't want to face it because you still think they are what you need. No, friends, what you need is a shepherd who will lead you back to God. And the reason our world is so lost, and the reason we are so lost, is we keep looking to the wrong people to shepherd us. And instead of taking care of us, they end up hurting us. And instead of leading us back to God, they actually end up leading us away from him. And the Lord says to his people, today is the day. You need to stop pinning your hopes on people to save you. Stop looking to other people to shepherd you. Today is the day you need to look to the one good shepherd who will lead you home. And we meet that shepherd in Ezekiel 34. Verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock where he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains. Did you catch the I will? I will. I will. In other words, do not put your hope in kings. Your only hope is in what I will do. I will do. And it's a very beautiful picture, isn't it? The picture is the Lord, the shepherd whom we have rejected, sees his sheep scattered over the whole world, and the one we have rejected goes after us and rescues us and gathers us together. And it's a very striking thing, this, because we have been told again and again that human beings are looking for God. We're on a search for God, as though, what, he is hiding and he doesn't much want to be found by us. And the Bible says, no, it's just the other way around. He's the one who's come looking for us. And I wonder whether you know that. That you are so precious to God, that he has come looking for you. And it's beautiful what he does when he finds his sheep. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the nations, gather them from the countries. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. He's going to bring them into their own land. And you see in that land, verse 14, I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. He's not going to eat them. He's going to feed them so they flourish. And I just think verse 16 is especially beautiful, because verse 16 reverses everything that the bad shepherds do back in verse 4. So verse 4 was, you have not searched for the lost. Verse 16 is, I will search for the lost. Maybe you're aware of being lost. You've lost your way. Your life is a mess. And they did not search for you. The Lord says, I will search for you. I will find you. I will pick you up. I will carry you home. Or he says to the shepherds, you have not brought back strays. But you see in verse 16, I will bring back the strays. So maybe it's that you've strayed. You've drifted from his ways. And they didn't even notice. They didn't love you enough to go after you, to challenge you. They didn't care. But he says, I will bring you back. I will set your feet back on the right path. Or back in verse 4, he said, you have not healed the sick or bound up the injured. But you see what he says in 16, I will bind up the injured. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe you've been hurt. You've been wounded by what happened, what someone did to you, what they said to you. And nobody stopped to tend to you. And the Lord says, I will bind up your wounds. Back in verse 4, he said, you did not strengthen the weak. But you see what he says in 16? I will strengthen the weak. Maybe you're struggling. You're just finding it very hard to keep going. And you find everyone else has just left you behind. And the Lord says, I will strengthen you. I will give you strength to keep going. You see, it's a beautiful picture of how he restores individuals. In fact, he restores the whole community, because these self-seeking shepherds have made for a culture of self-seeking sheep. Everyone is out for themselves. It's brutal. But the Lord is going to judge not just bad shepherds, but bad sheep. Do you see verse 20? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away. So it's all going to change. It's going to be hard. Why? Because the Lord is going to place over them a new shepherd. Think, hold on. The whole thing of this is that the Lord himself was going to be the shepherd who was going to come. Who is this shepherd? Verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. Who is this shepherd? Well, look how he's described. I will place over them, not a shepherd the people choose, a shepherd the Lord appoints. One shepherd, not a series of shepherds, but one shepherd for all time, for all people. My servant David. David? David, King David. He's been dead for 400 years. What's Ezekiel talking about? But you see, David was the shepherd boy who became a king. And the Lord commanded him to shepherd his people. And David is the model for the king who would one day come, the king whom God promised would sit on David's throne forever and shepherd his people forever. And you see, he's going to be a servant, my servant David. Other shepherds, they trample the flock down. This shepherd will serve them, will stoop low to lift them up. And he will tend them. This will be a shepherd who will care very much for his sheep. Shepherd who will be willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And it's very striking in verse 24. It says, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. That among them language is really striking, because it's normally, I, the Lord, will be their God, and I will dwell among them. But he's saying, I, the Lord, will be their God, and this David figure will dwell among them. This David figure will be the Lord dwelling among his people. Do you see? The Lord will be their shepherd through this shepherd. And the bottom line is, whereas all the other shepherds led God's people away from God, this shepherd will lead them home. And just look at what home is like. Verse 25, I'll make a covenant of peace with them. The sense of that word peace there is not just the end of conflict. Peace is when everything is restored to how it's meant to be. It's a place of peace. Home is a place of blessing. Verse 26, I'll make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. And the key feature of this home is it's a place of safety. Do you see at the end of verse 25? They'll sleep in the forests in safety. Verse 27, in the middle of it, the people will be secure in their land. Middle of verse 28, they won't be plundered anymore. They'll live in safety. And no one will make them afraid. So did you get the picture? The sheep were lost and the sheep were in danger. And through this shepherd, the Lord will make his people safe. And they'll be safe because instead of being slaves in Babylon, they're going to be his people. And he's going to be with them. Do you see that in verse 30? That's where it's all heading to. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. Do you see the picture? It all went wrong when we didn't want him. And that's why we're lost. And that's why we're a long way from home. And that's why we live in a world that's brutal and dangerous. But there is hope. There is hope because there is one shepherd who promises to come and round us up and lead us back to him, back to home, where he'll keep us safe. Did you see the picture that's painted? But you say, well, it's a lovely picture, but really? What is Ezekiel talking about? When is he talking about? When we think of prophecy being fulfilled, I think it's helpful to think of a three-peaked mountain. Have a look at this high-level diagram. From a distance, the promises that the prophets make are like one big promise. From a distance, that is like one big mountain. But if you climb it, you realize it's a mountain made up of three distinct peaks. You climb up to the first peak, you think, oh, we're at the top, and you go, oh no, we're not at the top, there's more. And you climb to the second peak, you think, we're at the top, oh, no, there's more. You see, and the promise that God makes through the prophet Ezekiel is like one big mountain, but it has three distinct peaks. And the three peaks are the end of exile, the coming of Jesus, and then the return of Jesus to make all things new. So think about those three peaks. Ezekiel 34 looks to the end of exile. The Lord did gather up his people, and he did take them home back to the land. He was keeping his promises, but they still had leaders who exploited them, and the enemies attacked them. They weren't safe, and the old people wept and said, this isn't it. This isn't home. So they're at the top of the first peak, but they realized there's more to come. We're not yet at the top of the mountain. Second peak is the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the New Testament starts and says, get ready, get ready. The Lord is coming to restore all things. And they're all going, where is he? Where? There. And John the Baptist points to Jesus of Nazareth. But you remember the one promised in verse 23? Appointed by God. Do you remember God saying to Jesus, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. A David figure. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus calling out, Jesus, son of David? A servant king. Jesus says, I've not come to be served, but to serve. A king who will tend his sheep. Jesus, you watch him go after all the people everyone else avoids. You see him healing the sick, forgiving the sinful, caring for them. And this shepherd was going to represent the Lord dwelling among his people. And what do we read in John chapter 1? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Lord dwelling among his people. And we read that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He is the shepherd they need. And in John 10, he says it outright, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Just hear that? Because we think, how can a first century carpenter's son shepherd me? Why would I pin my hopes on him? Do you see who he is? In Ezekiel 34, the living God promised he would come and be the shepherd who would gather up all his people from across the world and take them home. And you see, Jesus is standing up and claiming, I am that shepherd. I'm not just another sheep. I am the Lord your God come to take you home. And we think, really? But the religious leaders of the day, they get it. At the end of John chapter 10, they pick up stones and they accuse him of blasphemy. They say, you, a mere man, claim to be God? Because that is exactly what he's claiming. You say, well, hold on. If Jesus is the shepherd who's come, how come the world is not yet at peace? Back on the three peaks. See, the promise begins to be fulfilled, peak one, at the end of exile. There's more fulfillment in the coming of Jesus, peak two. But third peak, the top of the mountain, is when he returns and makes all things new. That's the promise in the book of Revelation, that the one who is on the throne, the Lamb who is on the throne, will be the shepherd who will lead his people to springs of living water, blessing, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That's the promise, one day, everything put right. So friends, as we close, do you see that Jesus is the shepherd that you need? Will you put your life in his hands? And it may be that you need to admit that for the first time. You've resisted the whole idea of needing a shepherd because it sort of smells of weakness. No, it's just reality. You are not a lion or an owl or a tiger. You're just a sheep. And you don't know where to find water or grass that nourishes, and you are lost, and you face death without God, and you need a shepherd who will rescue you and lead you home to be with him. And maybe you think, yeah, but Jesus of Nazareth, why would I put my life in the hands of some cut? Do you see who he is? He's the God of Ezekiel 34. And he's come for you to restore you. But to put our lives in his hands is the very fact that he is God. It makes you suspicious of him. With all his power, you fear he will squash you and sort of spoil things, and the things he says and his ways are going to ruin everything. No, it's the other shepherds who abuse you and exploit you. All Jesus' intentions to you are good. How do we know? Because he is the shepherd who loves you so much, he lays down his life for you. And he says, they have come to steal and destroy. I have come to give you life in all its fullness. Do you see? He's not come to spoil our lives. He's come to restore us to the life we were created for. Do you see that he is good? Do you see that his ways are good? His ways are life. In all its fullness. Maybe you're wobbling because you're saying, well, it's hard. It's hard to put my life in his hands. It's hard to trust him because I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at my life and it still feels like we are a long way from home. Friends, we're not yet there. We're not yet at the top of the mountain. But what does our good shepherd say to us? John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No, we're not yet home. We're not yet at the top of the mountain. There are still things we're afraid of, and there are still things that make us cry and confuse us, but there is nothing that can snatch us out of his hand. He's got us safe. Even through death, he will not let us go. And if you can go out into next week and say, the Lord is my shepherd, that changes everything. It means you are not a lost and lonely wanderer through this world. It means you have a shepherd who loves you. And whatever happens, he is with you. And he's got you safe. And he will get you home. So friends, this week, whatever you do, don't wander from him. Listen to his voice. Live by what he says. Entrust yourself to his care. And be glad you are his. Let's pray. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you that you've come. We praise you that you've come to rescue us at great cost to yourself. Praise you that you've come to lead us home. And we pray this week you would protect us from all the lies that would deflect us from entrusting ourselves into your care. Pray that we would know again how good it is to be yours. And we pray that for the honor of your great name. Amen.
Thanks, Sarah, very much indeed. Right, we're going to turn to a few questions. First thing, just to say, there's somebody that's got a message here for which it just is worth us hearing about people who might be just somebody in the room who's bearing a grudge, which could be any number of us because of what our hearts are like. But if there's anybody here particularly bearing a grudge, there's an encouragement for us to take that grudge and lay it at Jesus' feet. Thank you for that message and an encouragement for us to do that today. We're going to turn now to chapter 35 of Ezekiel, and we're going to turn to one particular question about David. Somebody asks, is the David figure Jesus? What is the difference between God and his servant David mentioned in verse 23? So I will place with them my servant David, and he will tend them. There seems to be a distinction between God and David. So how does it where Jesus fit into that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's tricky, but do you see the whole sweep of chapter 34 is the Lord is going to come and be the shepherd, and that's why verse 23 is a bit of a sort of puzzle. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. We're expecting verse 23 to say, and I will be their shepherd, and I will rule over them. But who is this David figure? As I said, that language of my servant David being prince among them is normally the language used of the Lord being among his people. So in some way, the Lord is going to shepherd his people through this one who is to come. And this one who is to come is the fulfillment of everything you see in David. He's going to be a shepherd, a God-appointed king, a shepherding king, a caring king, all those kinds of things. And I think that list is just all gathered up and aimed at Jesus. The only person who, as it were, ticks all these boxes is Jesus, which means we're forced to think about Jesus as the one who fulfills this, which is, when the Lord says, I'm going to be your shepherd and I'm going to shepherd you through my king, that's how we need to understand Jesus as the fulfillment of this, as he is saying, I am the Lord come to be that shepherd. Can I say more on that? Come catch me over tea if that's still a thing.
And then sort of basically two questions asking the same. So if Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, and you mentioned the danger of following human leaders, when is it good to follow human leaders? So one situation here of perhaps when there hasn't been an answer to prayer and we're confused, can we go to a human leader at that point? Or just the fact that sometimes we feel that we need another human being to get a bit of advice from. Is that, as it were, putting our trust in human shepherds?
Yeah. And we've got to hear what this passage is saying and what God is saying to his people in Ezekiel, which is warning them against the whole idea that the hope of the nation rested in kings and institutions and the monarchy and the priesthood. He's saying, no, there is one who is coming. And in him it lies the hope of the nation. Yeah. Now, of course, in the New Testament, for example, leaders of God's church are called to shepherd his people. But they do it in the sort of understanding that they are, it's kind of laughable because they are, of course, just sheep. And they must do it in a way that reflects him and keeps pointing back to him. He is the shepherd of his people. But in his goodness, he appoints sort of under-shepherds to care for his people, and we're to rejoice in them. But we're to keep them in their place. That's to say, don't go to people looking for salvation. Don't go to people to rescue you. Recognize that they are just fellow sheep who've kind of rather laughably been given this job of being a bit of a shepherd by the great shepherd. Just keep that perspective. So if we're in 1 Peter 5, we'd be talking about those kinds of things. But here is a warning against putting your hope in people. That's the danger that this is warning us against, of saying, basically, I need you to sort me out. And actually, sometimes, as an under-shepherd, one of the things I'm aware of is the danger of encouraging people to depend on me. And I sometimes need to work really hard at saying, don't depend on me, go to him. And that's one of the ways human leaders can help, is actually by steering sheep to Jesus. Rather than to themselves. But it's not like, this doesn't like abandon all sense of turning to other people, but as we turn to other people, as we are the people who are turned to, remember, we are not the shepherd. We are not the savior. We are not the Davidic king. And therefore, we're to keep the best thing we can do to others is point them to him, because he really is the savior. It's when people try and get people to depend on them, or when I start to depend on other people, that's when it becomes toxic.
Mike, thank you very much indeed.